Where did that salvation come from? Well, he says the salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So, again, pay attention. Pay careful attention. If there was punishment given to those who were warned by angels, okay, they didn't escape punishment. If we ignore, he says, such a great salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, he's the one not only who gave us the salvation, but he also talked about it. He taught it to us, okay? Amen. So if you ignore that, then you can expect punishment. All right? Okay. Let's move on to the next section here. Beginning in verse 5, he goes back to, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about the angels and Jesus and the comparison and so forth. All right? It is not to angels that he was subjected, that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone is testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. Psalm 88 in verses 4 through 6, the psalmist applies these statements to Christ himself. Okay? We see that connection. Also, this part is also in Psalm 110. All right? So, in looking at Jesus and the angels, as we were doing before, okay? It's not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. In other words, the world is not answerable to any angels. Okay? All right? There's not going to be any angels that are going to be, you know, we have to answer to and are going to judge us. All right? But it's going to be Christ. But he wants us to understand this relationship, okay, with Christ and the world, and also to understand what God has done with Christ. What is man that you are mindful of him? Okay? Why should God even care about us? Okay? Because he created us. Exactly. Okay? The Son of Man that you care for him. Okay? What was his position while he was here? A little lower than the angels. Okay? You crown him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In Philippians chapter 2, I think we talked about this a little bit last time. What is it that Paul says there about Christ? When he tells us that our mind should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but rather did what? He emptied himself, he said. Okay? Jesus left his deity in heaven and came here and became a human being, just like us. So in that regard, he was made a little lower than the angels. Okay? But after his mission here was finished, what happened?
He went back
and he now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is placed under his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Russ, I have the NIV here.
Okay.
And it makes a distinction here in the first part where it says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them?
Right.
So it's a difference there. And he put everything under their feet. Is that a misprint or?
No, I don't know that it's a misprint. It's just a different translation. Because you said you have the NIV.
Mm-hmm.
That's a newer translation because I've got the NIV here and it says him.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just kind of,
One of the things about Bible translators, and they update from time to time, and the NIV has been doing this for several years now, and they're changing the wording on certain things a little bit to be more, sometimes a little bit more inclusive of ideas or whatever. I'm not exactly sure in all those cases how accurate they are.
That's fine.
Sacrifice
that's kind
not.
Of confusing.
Yeah. But that's just a matter of them trying to there are some places, for instance, where they translate a word says men, and instead of saying men, it'll say people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or some that even say men and women everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of a thing. So in other words, just trying to include everybody rather than, you know, the typical when it says all men everywhere, refers to all men and women is understood.
Yeah.
So they're trying to be real specific about some of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Is that on your phone, Judy?
Hmm?
Was that on your phone?
Yeah.
You just got?
Yeah, I got the NIV on my phone.
Yeah, it's one of the newer translations.
And it kind of bothered me because when I hear what you're saying, and then I'm reading this, you know, it's like it's taken away from Christ.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I think, again, you have to go back to the context, and what is the context talking about?
Right.
It's talking about Jesus.
Right. And then, Russell, I have the same thing that you have on yours. What I do, if it's confusing to me, and I don't want to stay on as long as I know you do your class, I just flip back to something else, and I compare them.
Yeah.
Well, King James Version. I will go back to King James Version, and maybe to something else, just to see.
Yeah.
I do the same thing, but
I just
wanted to get Ross's.
Best way to check things like that is to, again, go back to what the context is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Whenever you have something that's a little bit confusing like that, look at the context. Look at a few verses before that and a few verses after that to see what is the context talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it's obviously talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That can help to clear up some of those kinds of things. All right.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of distracted.
No, you're fine. You're fine. That's what Bible class is for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. So, in putting everything under him, God left how much that's not subject to him?
Nothing.
There is nothing that is not subject to him, including angels, good and bad angels, right? So that includes Satan. All right? There is nothing that is not subject to him. All right? Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Okay? So, he suffered. He's made a little lower than the angels, and he suffered death. Okay, and the reason that he did that was so that he might taste death for everyone. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, talks about the fact that through one man, sin came into the world, and through one man, grace came into the world. So again, through Christ is the path to salvation. Okay, he tasted death for everyone. In other words, basically, he died in your place and mine. That's literally what it means here. Okay? So we didn't have to die for our sins. He died in our place. Judy?
I was going to say to this is that we have to remember that we're talking about an eternal being that went and died, that he didn't, you know, he was from the beginning to the end, but here he died for mankind. And that is something big when I think about that, because it's something that he had never experienced before either.
Right.
And this is his first time. Yep. And then if you put it on yourself, we never experience death until we literally die.
Yep.
You know, so again, we're following his footsteps.
Yes, to be like him.
Yes.
Okay. But understand, the reason that he came here primarily was so that he could provide a way for us to be saved.
Yeah.
All right. The only way for that to happen is for God to become flesh. Okay. Remember in our study on Between Two Trees, one of the things that Shane Woods talked about was that whole process and why it had to be that way. Okay. Because of what sin accomplished. Okay. Because in a sense, what we've done is we became united. Remember how he talked about we were united with death because we sinned, okay? Well, the only way to overcome that is for God to die, okay? And thus break the bond of death so that we could be free from that. All right, y'all remember him talking about that? And so that's what Jesus accomplished. That's what he came here to do. All right? And so when the writer here says he tasted death for everyone, understand it's not like the idea where we, you know, here, taste this and see if it's bad, you know, kind of thing. You say, well, you just get a little bit. No, he consumed death, okay, so that you and I would not have to. All right? And he did that for who? For everyone. Okay? So not just for the Israelites, okay? Not for an exclusive group, but for everyone. For everyone who will accept him, that's what he did. All right? Now, here's another thing to think about. Okay? And I still have not found anything. I did some research way back a while ago. It's been a while since I've looked up, but I don't know of anybody at this point who is claiming in any other religion that their God died for them. Okay? I don't know of any that does. No one has a God who has done for us what our God has done. Okay? Because, as Ray pointed out a few minutes ago, because he created us and he loves us. That's why he did it, okay? Verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, okay? Everything exists for God, okay? That he should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, what does that mean? It's important that we understand the word perfect as we think about it in the English language typically to us means what?
No defects.
No defects, no blemishes or anything like that, right? But most of the time when the word perfect is used, it means complete. Okay? So it has that idea of you know, what we do, perfection, in other words, no blemishes, but more it means complete. So in this regard, Jesus was made complete, okay, in that he understands what it's like to be human all the way through to death. All right? He was made complete in that way. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Doesn't it make you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
See? So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Mm-hmm. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children of God and the children God has given me. Right? So he's made perfect through his suffering, or complete. All right? And then he's going to tell us something else here about his situation. All right? Look in the next part here, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. All right? What does that mean?
That he became like us because we were flesh. He decided.
Okay.
He will become flesh.
All right. He became just
like us.
Like us. All right. The problem that we oftentimes have is we have a difficult time kind of getting around his deity. Okay? And so what that means is that we say, okay, Jesus was both God and man. Okay? Jesus did not, when he emptied himself, give up being part of God, the Godhead. Mm-hmm. He just gave up the power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he came here to become a human being, subjecting himself to the Father. Right? So he is fully God, but he is also fully man. Now, if you can wrap your mind around that and really understand it, then tell me how. Okay? Because I can't get my mind wrapped around that. But that's what it is. Chuck, you had a comment?
You probably have seen that TV show or heard about the TV show Undercover Boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate undercover boss.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because he came here to be like us, right? So that, and we're going to look here in just a second, so he could understand exactly how we feel and what we deal with, okay? Turn over to chapter 12 for just a moment and look at verse 2.
Hebrews?
Hebrews, yes.
Verse what?
Verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Okay, well, there's a couple of things here in this. First of all, he said he is referred to as the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, again, the word perfect here, okay, what does it mean?
Complete.
Complete. In other words, through what he has done, he completed or made possible the completion of our faith. Okay? He's the author of it, but he's also the one who makes it complete. Okay? Again, we see this warning in verse 3 here, we talked about a while ago, so that we don't get weary and lose heart. Okay? In chapter 7, still in Hebrews, okay? Verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek? Okay? So again, the writer is drawing our attention to the ability of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection to complete or make perfect our salvation. Okay? So here, basically pointed out, that was not possible under the law of Moses. Okay? No one could be saved by following the law of Moses. Alright? If they could, then Jesus didn't need to come. Alright? The law, by the way, was never intended to accomplish that. Alright?
The weakness of the law was that it did not have the flesh part in it.
Right.
It was direction just given down to people, rules for them to obey.
Yes.
So the rule, the law of Christ was coming in here and experiencing everything we experience,
right,
and then showing us how we can do that.
Yes. And the difference between animal sacrifices and a sacrifice of the blood of Christ himself. See, the blood of the bulls and goats, Paul says, can never take away sins. Okay? It was never designed and intended to. It was more of a reminder of their sins and to roll them back. God, in other words, would not hold it against them for another year. That's what the whole Day of Atonement thing was all about. But it could never take away sins. Only the blood of Christ could do that, thus bringing completeness or perfection to our faith. Brian, you had a comment?
Yeah, to be that perfect mediator for us, he knows what we go through. He knows God's aspect of us, but he knows our personal aspect of it. He was a carpenter. So I'm sure there was a time or two that he missed the nail and hit his finger.
Yeah.
Then he knows what goes through our mind and our physical thoughts and our everything that goes through when we do that. And he was a had brothers that offended him, and he knows what it goes through when people do personal attacks. So he knows what we emotionally are going through because he's experienced every bit of that.
Every bit of it. He knows what he's like.
He knows our struggles.
Yes. And the writer will talk about that here in a little bit. Oh, absolutely.
When did he start? Okay.
It was before the foundation of the world.
Well, you know, when he became human, when did he know he was God?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, it was just a question I had because, you know, he's always known how it feels to be human, and I believe so. But how far back did that begin? Never mind.
No, I think it's a dumb question. I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding what you're asking.
Well,
spiritually, as God, he knew all this was going to happen before he created the world. Okay, but as a human being, if what I'm hearing you correctly, asking, so he was born into this world as a baby. Well, how much did he know?
Right.
He knew what a baby knows. Just like what's his name here? Reed Swampy Levi, you know, he knew what he knows, okay? But as he grew, okay, he became more aware of what's, you know, who he was and so forth, so that by the time he's 12 years old, we see him there at the temple, okay? And what does he say to his mother and father? About my father's business. Now, you know, you can look at that a couple different ways. You can look at it from the standpoint that every Jewish boy, by the time they're 12 years old, is supposed to know the law and the prophets and those kind of things, at least some of it, and that they would be calling God their father and so forth. So some scholars are looking at it and say, well, you know, he's just talking about the same thing that any Jewish boy would be saying. I don't think so. I think that he had some kind of awareness, even by then, as to who he was. But what did that allow him to do and so forth? I don't know. But we also know that by the time when he began his ministry, okay, at 33 years old, okay, what happened to him as he began his ministry? Anybody recall? He was what? He was baptized, and he received the Holy Spirit, okay? And then he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, all right? So how much of what he knew from that point on in terms of his ministry came to him through the Holy Spirit at that point? Probably a lot. Tracy?
Even John the Baptist, before he was born, when he heard the name of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things about all this, and remember I said a while ago, you can get your mind wrapped around, you know, being God and man both at the same time, okay, then more power to you, okay? But it's what we're trying to do is to comprehend with a limited, you know, mind capacity here, physically focused to understand those things that are spiritually done. Okay, and I don't know that it's possible to do that. Yeah. One of the things that I have started doing, I shared this with a couple of people, and it really works well, by the way. You know, I've been finding myself where I get up during the night several times, you know, and what was happening is I'd end up going to the restroom, and then I come back and I can't get back to sleep. Mm-hmm. My mind starts thinking about all kinds of things. So about 2 months ago now, I started thinking about different Bible people. Mm-hmm. You know, I get back into bed and I start thinking about different Bible people, and thinking about when I get to heaven. You know, we all talk about, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're just going to stand around and sing and praise God. No, I don't think so. I think we're going to interact with one another. And so what I started doing was I started having conversations with these biblical characters, these people from the Bible, about their experiences. So I've talked to Abraham, I've talked to Moses, I've talked to Noah, and just asking them about things. So, you know, I just picture sitting under the tree of life and sitting there having a conversation with Abraham. Say, Abraham, tell me, what was going through your mind when you had Isaac on the altar? You know, just things like that. And I find myself just drifting off to sleep really easily. I have that same, you know, that conversation goes on like three or four times during the night because I get up that many times. But last night, guess who I was talking to? Mary. I was talking to Mary last night. And some of the questions that I had were about Jesus. What, you know, when he was first born, you know, what was going through your mind? You knew, as you already told, he's the Son of God. And what's it like to be the mother of the Son of God? You know? And about when he was growing up and interacting with his brothers and sisters. How was that? Tell me about that. You know, just things like that, because I don't know. We don't know. We know nothing except from his birth, and then nothing until he's 12 years old. And then after that, nothing until he's about 30 years old.
Right.
You see? So anything that we come up with is basically guesswork. Mm-hmm. Judy?
Well, when you really think about when he was 12 years old, and this is a meals in here, I was thinking always that it gives us an idea that at the age of 12, Jesus already knew what his mission was going to be, because he says,
indeed,
don't you know, I'm about my father's business. And I think that's the reason why we don't hear nothing more until he actually starts his ministry.
Okay.
But and that's the way I think about it.
And could very well be. I don't know.
And I think there's also a distinction. I don't think other children, as they learn about the law of Moses or all, I don't think that they would address God as their father, because I go back when Jesus made that comment, they said that he was a blasphemer, making himself equal to God.
Yeah. And again, those are just, you know, what some scholars say, you
yeah.
know, he's probably just like any other Jewish child. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot of mm-hmm. credit to that kind of a thing. But again, you know, at any one point in his life of living as, like us, a human being, okay, how much did he know? And was his knowledge that came to him a lot like ours does? You know, you start out in kindergarten and you learn certain things. You know, and then you go to first grade, and you learn more things, and then you go to second, and so forth. You learn gradually, and the same thing with us with the scriptures. We start out, we learn some basics, and as we study, we learn more and more. We understand a lot more, and I have no problem understanding that that's what happened with Jesus, that the Father gave him what he needed at any given time in his life. You say, and so. You know, how much does he understand? Did he understand? You know, my son was baptized into Christ when he was 9 years old. A lot of people say, well, that's too young. Well, apparently not for him. He understood, and he's continued to understand. He's very strong, faithful, you know, in the Lord's church and so forth. So I think it's just different for everybody. But again, trying to understand how much did Jesus know at any given time, I don't know there's any way we can know that, but I do think that it probably was a progressive thing, just like it is with us. He's human, just like us. So in other words, I don't think that God sent him, you know, when he was 6 years old or 5 years old, and God just filled him with all this knowledge all of a sudden and go, okay, now you got the mission, go make it work. I don't see that as the case, okay?
Well, and we have to also understand that when he started to preach in his own hometown, the comment was made, isn't this the carpenter's son?
Right.
So there couldn't have been much different of him as a child.
As a child, right.
Than we are, because otherwise his people in the town would have known, wait a minute, Jesus is different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, if you read through some of the historical things that have been written about Jesus, extra-biblical stuff has been written. You know, there are all kinds of stories, you know, told about Jesus when he was growing up, the things that he did. And again, what's the source of these? It's somebody's wild imagination. It's things like Jesus when he was playing with his friends and, you know, they did something that he didn't like. He turned him into a donkey, you know. Just stuff like that, you know. It's like, come on. Seriously? You know, And he was able to do that kind of stuff. No, again, somebody has a real wild imagination to come up with stories like that. Carla and Charlotte, questions?
Well, I think, because I remember teaching when the little kid that would come, that somewhere it says that after he, maybe he was 12, I don't know the exact point, that he grew in wisdom and knowledge.
And the favor with God and men.
Thank you, okay, thank you. So I was like, So with that, that tells us, like you said, there's a progression.
Yes.
And he had to, in my thoughts, had to have those progressions, because I believe they're evident in some of his parables, like the parable, I think, of the tax collector, mm-hmm. or who do we give tithes? And he said, who's on the coin?
Who's on the coin, right.
Well, you don't just know that at six, or, you know, you have
right.
to kind of learn money. And
yeah.
So those things come with time. Mm-hmm. So he literally was like us. So that's not hard to believe, and I don't want to get off topic. It's almost like, and I'm not trying to compare England, but they have the royal family. Well, one of the royal members, he left and he went to the military, but he still had his title.
Right.
He was still who he was, but he did that military job and knew what it was like to be a
right.
soldier.
Right.
But when his time came or comes or whatever, he will take his place.
Right.
Back where exactly. he needs to be. That's the same thing that what God did when he came to the earth. He stepped away from one position, that's how I'm going to describe it, to do his heavenly, his earthly work.
Right.
Unfortunately, we say we're adults at 18. The Bible tells us that he really started his ministry when he was older than 30. So maybe we do have to have more time to grow and mature from, you know,
yeah.
instead of infancy to 18, and we need to be infancy to 30, but
right.
to really get an understanding. But that's what our life work and walk is, our
yeah.
lifetime.
Well, and again, the purpose of him coming here in part was for him to be able to experience humanity.
And he did.
Okay. Well, we don't experience humanity just like that, do we?
Right.
You know, it's a progress that we go through all of our life, okay?
Yeah.
And so he did the same thing. And that's really what the writer here is trying to get us to understand, is that he was fully human, and he experienced the things that we experience as human beings. And I think that he learned the things as he went along. You know, some people like to say, well, you know, he must have been the best carpenter in the world, right? Because he was Jesus. And so whatever he made, you know, out of wood, it was perfect. Come on. You know, look. I'm a carpenter, okay? I tell you, when you start out, you make all kinds of mistakes. My hands will prove that to you, okay? And so Brian alluded to a little while ago, you know, was there ever those times when he hit his thumb with a hammer, you know, and he felt the pain of that, and, you know, so how did he respond? Well, probably just like us. You say, Charlotte, you had a comment a moment ago.
I understand people wondering what he was like at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or whatever. It's not important
exactly.
what he was at that age. creation, because they don't tell us.
Right.
It don't tell us why.
If it was important, God would have told us.
That's what, see, that's what I try to wrap my mind around.
Right.
Because if I sit all the time, I wonder what Jesus did when he went to.
I think you're exactly right. And we laugh about that kind of thing, but I've talked about it in terms. And go with me over to chapter four for just a moment, and then let me share this comment with you, okay? Chapter four, in talking about him being a high priest, okay? Mm-hmm. Verse 15, he says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in how many ways? Every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." And so, again, we're looking at his humanity, and so is it really too difficult for us to think of Jesus, which we don't. We don't think of Jesus. We think of the spiritual part. But you ever think that Jesus might have had a crush on a girl when he was a teenager? Sure. Maybe he looked in the mirror and saw a pimple on the end of his nose and went, "Oh, what am I going to do?"
I can't.
He had to be potty trained when he was a baby.
Yeah, but see, I can't think like that. I can't think of him. I know he was human.
Right.
I do.
Right.
And more likely he did go through those things, have a crush on a girl. I would think that. I can't wrap my mind around something as simple.
Right.
You know, for him.
Right.
I think of him higher. I know he was human.
Right.
I do.
But see, here's, I understand what you're saying, but here's the challenge for us, okay? And here's why I think it's important to see him that way. And that's how the writer wants us to see him, is completely human. Because if we don't really understand his humanity, then that lets us off the hook of doing what he's told us to do. Because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do what? We've been talking about this in Sunday mornings. We're supposed to allow him to what? Transform us into his image. Well, if my perception of Jesus is that, yeah, he was human, but not really fully human. And somebody once said that he actually kind of hovered above the ground a little bit. He didn't actually walk on the ground. You know, he just kind of, that's our perception.
Right.
He didn't really get his feet dirty, okay? Notice that he washed the disciples' feet, not his own, because they weren't really dirty. That he wasn't really human, then can I really be like him?
Yeah, I understand. Oh, like I said, I understand him being human.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But if I'm trying to teach someone and they ask me that, a child, ask me, well, what was Jesus like when he was a child?
Just like you.
I would say probably like you, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I would say me. I'm not going to get into did. He probably did.
Yeah.
But, and that's what I was saying. Probably. Just like I was saying something with you being a child. Russ, probably.
Oh, you don't want to know what
because,
I was a child.
You know, I really don't know, but probably.
Yeah.
He was like, he probably ran around like we did when we were children.
Exactly.
You know, he was a child.
Exactly.
Just like us. Yeah, you know, but we can't get into a whole, well, I wouldn't. Get into a whole drawn out thing that, you know, he did this as a child.
I don't think we can be, we can say, well, definitely this, he did this.
But you know, some do, but some people do.
But it's the idea of just recognizing his humanity, and this one, that we understand that he grew up just like any other child.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wet his diapers and he pooped in his diapers. They had to be changed by his mother, you know. All of those things. He had to be potty trained. He had, you know, all of that kind of stuff that kids go through as you're growing up. That's what made him fully human. If he didn't have to do those things, then I'd submit to you he wasn't really fully human.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right?
The thing is, you know, there's so many things that's not concerning Christ and his growing up. The things that we need to know are in the book.
That's right.
And the Bible says these
Yep.
So he did the same thing our children did growing up. He had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to do all those things. And I just leave it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But did he learn how to walk on water when he was, you know, year old?
No, I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it.
Again, you're right in that we don't have to know the specifics.
Yeah.
But what I'm encouraging you to do is think about some of those things just from the perspective of understanding that's part of being a human being.
Yeah.
And that's what he went through.
And I bet you threw his food on the floor.
He may have, you know. He may have. And he may have at some point said one of the first words that every child learns to say. No. No.
No.
Isn't that what children learn? That's one of the first words they say. No.
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 You, Joseph?
Yes, probably.
You see, again, he was human, just like us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right, we're out of time. We've actually gone a couple minutes over. Good discussion. Thank you all very much for your input. We'll